RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. OJK optimistic of foreign mining companies offering sales. Workers' union demands government support as layoffs exceed 62,000. Indonesian government to build hospital in Timor-Leste border. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Financial Service Authority OJK has expressed hope that foreign mining companies operating in Indonesia would sell part of their shares through an initial public offering IPO at the country's stock exchange. OJK Capital Market Executive Supervisor Nur Haider noted in Jakarta on Tuesday that foreign companies that have business and assets such as mines in Indonesia are expected to prioritize launching an IPO in Indonesia to benefit Indonesian people. That would be very positive, he remarked that the regulation requesting companies that had been operating for a minimum of 5 years to divest was positive, and the IPO mechanism could be one of best options to meet it. She claimed the investment can be carried out through an IPO, but indeed, there are several factors that need to be considered, as the IPO mechanism would allow anyone to buy their shares. Tito Sulistio, President Director of the Indonesian Stock Exchange, PIE, pointed out that the clause on divestment is part of Government Regulation No. 23-2010 on the implementation of the coal and mineral mining business. At present, 16 foreign companies are planning to divest stages in Indonesia. A workers' union has urged Indonesian government to implement policies that would provide immediate boost to domestic demand and prevent more job cuts in the manufacturing sector. The Confederation of Indonesian Workers Union, KSPSI, reported on Tuesday that 62,321 workers have lost their jobs since the beginning of this year as weak domestic and international demand forces companies to reduce their workloads. The Manpower Minister has recorded 42,449 layoffs so far this year and admits there were delays in companies reporting their figures. KSPI Chairman Yoris Raweyai said on Tuesday, redundancies mainly occur in the food and beverage, textile, shoes, electronics and mining sectors. Minister data indicated that Jakarta, Banten, West Java, Central Java, East Java, East Kalimantan, North Sumatra and Rio Islands lost the most number of jobs. Yoris added the government needs to come up with the breakthrough policies as workers should not be victims any longer. Indonesian economy expanded 4.7% the second quarter of 2015, the lowest pace in 6 years due to weak commodity prices and sluggish public spending that hit company revenues. National Intelligence Agency BIN Chief Sutioso revealed on Wednesday that the central government planned to build a hospital in Belu, the capital city of Atanbuar Regency in East Nusa Tenggara. Belu is a border city with Timor-Leste. The retired Lieutenant General told reporters on the sideline of his visit to Belu, Indonesia is very serious about developing the border area as the country wants people live in border area, not to have medical treatment in Timor-Leste. Several state officials, including Hun Minister Tejo Mulo, Health Minister Nila Chuitamulo, and Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono, also visited the border area. Suti also said the government had allocated a hectare of land in the city for the development of the hospital. Pelu Akin Region Wellen Foni said that beside the planned development of hospital, his administration would build houses of worship and housing complex in the area. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The number of hotspots in the East Kota Waringin District Central Kalimantan is increasing once again, a development attributed to rather long spell of the dry season. Head of Haji Asan Sampit Indonesian Agency for Meteorology, Klimatologi, and Geophysics BNKG, Yuli Dewarni, stated in Sampit on Tuesday that BNKG has predicted that the monsoon will arrive by early November, and the month of October will see no rain at all. Based on the BNKG satellite observation, 65 hotspots had been detected in East Kota Waringin, and there were 14 hotspots in Kota Besi sub-district. Mentawa Baru Ketapan had 8 hotspots, North Mentaya Hilir 12 hotspots, Mentaya Hulu 2 hotspots, Serano 19 hotspots, Telewangan 3 hotspots, Telo Sepit 4 hotspots, while South Mentaya Hilir, Perangian, and Pulau Hanau had 1 hotspot each. Yulida stated BNKG had urge everyone living near these spots to stay aware of this situation, since a fire can occur anytime at these locations. Indonesian Defenders Front FPI has said that it is forbidden to apologize to the victims of the 1965 communist purge. According to FPI patron Muhammad Rishid Sihab, known as Habib Rishid, an apology for the 1965 purge will lead to the rise of a communist ideology and threaten Muslims. If the government apologizes, he added, it would mean that PKI had done nothing wrong, implying that the purge was the fault of NU and its youth wing, and also the fault of the police and military. Murepere said all assets of PKI members and sympathizers should need to be returned, if there an apology, including their houses and land. The state would also need to pay compensation for each victim. Earlier, Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said the government would not apologize to the victims of the 1965 communist purge, and instead of would focus on suitable format in accordance with the Indonesian recent condition. The last item, the Central Statistics Agency BPS recorded that Indonesian deflation figure in September reached 0.05% by the Consumer Price Index 1-to-1. Head of the agency Suryamin said in Jakarta on Thursday that the highest deflation was in Sibolga of 1.85% and the lowest one was 0.02% in Bandung. He mentioned the biggest contributor to the deflation in September was foodstuffs.
Sebesar 0,05 ini karena terjadi deflasi pada bahan makanan.
Deflation of 0.05% in September was caused by foodstuffs. On groceries, meat was 5.12% deflation, where the biggest decrease on chicken price. After fasting month and Idul Fitri, the price had decreased and it was back to normal.
Harga waktu itu meningkat, sekarang udah turun ke arah normal sehingga deflasi.
Suryamin further said the other contributors to deflation in September were transportation, communication, and financial services. According to him, with the deflation of 0.05% in September, the year-on-year inflation rate stood at 6.83%. He said from 82 the consumer price in the cities, 36 cities had experienced deflation and 46 other cities had experienced inflation. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is commentary entitled Palestinian flag hoisted in the United Nations headquarters, New York. In September 30th in Indonesia, flag was hoisted at half-mast to mark the historic day for Indonesian nation. However, in New York, America, Palestinian flag was hoisted for the first time, and this made the Palestinians happy. Palestinian flag was fluttering in the United Nations headquarters, New York, shortly after Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas delivered his speech at the United Nations General Assembly calling for a two-state solution for Palestine and Israel. The flag-raising ceremony was attended by the President Mahmoud Abbas and the United Nations Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon. By hosting the Palestinian flag, the United Nations formally recognizes Palestine as a non-member observer state. In Ramallah, West Bank, Palestinian people celebrated the moment after listening to the speech of President Abbas through the television. On the contrary, the raising of the flag was opposed by Israel and the United States. The reason of the opposition was that there is no direct impact towards the peace in Palestine. However, Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, insisted that the hoisting of the flag of the Palestinian is an important milestone to create the peace. The effort to hoist the flag of Palestine at the United Nations headquarters was not easy. In the voting for the flag hoisting, 119 countries agreed and 8 countries, including Israel and the United States, opposed it. Israel, that has interest in Palestine, strongly opposed the hoisting of the Palestinian flag. The Jewish state even urged member states of the United Nations not to agree in the voting process. The voting itself took place in September 11th, on which 55 countries abstained, while some European countries such as France, Sweden, Italy, Spain, Ireland, and Slovenia agreed. In a tough debate that took place in the United Nations General Assembly, the representative of Israel stated that the move to hold the voting was an attempt to hijack the United Nations. Israel insisted the only way to become an independent state of Palestine is through negotiations. United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, supported Israel's statement by stating that the flag hoisting was neither an alternative to negotiation nor making the two sides closer to peace. In contrast, French Ambassador Franco Delette said that the hoisting of the Palestinian flag is a powerful symbol and it creates a great hope for the Palestine. Palestinian representatives at the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, said that the outcome of the voting is a step forward to achieve the goal of Palestine as an independent state. In May this year, Vatican, which holds the status of non-member observer state, signed the first formal bilateral agreements by recognizing Palestine as a state. The flag hoisting becomes an important milestone for the recognition of a Palestinian state in the future. 4 years ago, Palestinian effort to become a full member state of the United Nations failed because it did not have the support of the United Security Council. A year later, the effort brought about positive results after the United Nations General Assembly approved the status of Palestine to a non-member observer state and gave an opportunity to participate in the debates held by the United Nations General Assembly. In recent years, a number of countries have shown their support for Palestine to become a state. In regard to the Palestine's flag hoisting, the state of Indonesia as a country that supports the struggle of the Palestinian people and the nation is getting easier. However, this doesn't mean that the support is already over. Indonesia must keep providing support in any diplomacy to help the Palestinians. It should be kept in mind that Palestine is the one of many that supported the independence of Indonesia. For the Palestinian people and the nation, there are major steps that must be carried out so that the wish of Palestine to be an independent and sovereign state may come true and is approved fully by all member states of the United Nations. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the 4th floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. Listener, we start from an event on October 2, 1988. Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX of Yogyakarta passes away. Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX is one of the sultans who had led Yogyakarta Sultanate from 1940 to 1988 and the first governor of Yogyakarta after the independence of Indonesia. He served as the second vice president of Indonesia in 1973 to 1978. He is also known as the father of Indonesian Scout and has served as chairman of the National Scouts Movement. Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX died in Washington, D.C., the United States, on October 2, 1988, at the age of 76 years, due to illness. On October 2, 1958, Guinea gains its independence from France. Guinea, or Republic Guinea, is a country in West Africa. The country with 246,000 square kilometers, sometimes called Guinea-Conakry, to make it different from its neighbor, Guinea-Bissau. The capital of the central government and its largest city is Conakry. Guinea bordered with Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Ivory Coast. Guinea has 24 tribes. The most dominant tribes, namely Fula, Mandinka, and Zuzu. Guinea gained its independence from France on October 2, 1958. The last item on October 2, 2009, UNESCO stipulates batik as Indonesian cultural heritage. Batik is a heritage of Indonesian ancestry that is continuously developed. In the international world, batik was firstly introduced by President Suharto, who at that time wearing batik at the United Nations conference. The agency of the United Nations that deal with culture, UNESCO recognized batik as a human cultural heritage originating from Indonesia. The recognition is given by UNESCO by saying various efforts made by Indonesia, mainly due to an assessment of the diversity of batik motifs with fully philosophical meaning. In addition, the government and people of Indonesia are also assessed have taken various concrete steps to protect and preserve the cultural heritage for the next generations. The determination of batik by UNESCO as the World Cultural Heritage, also completing the establishment of 7 other World Heritage, belongs to Indonesia. The 7th UNESCO decided World Heritage, among others Komodo, Tropical Forest, Sangiran Archaeological Sites, Borobudur Temple, Prambanan Temple, as well as Wayang and Kris. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Today's focus from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia talking about September Package 2 sales match incentives. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution at the Presidential Office in Jakarta Tuesday, September 29th, said the government has again issued a package of measures to accelerate the pace of economy toward the end of the year. He said in a September policy package too, the government promised a series of incentives to encourage investment. In September package 2, the sale of government incentives, among others, acceleration of investment license within days to 3 hours, tax discounts for transport equipment, incentives of bonded logistics area, and reduction of deposit tax. In fact, the Ministry of Environment and Forest to streamline permits from 14 to 6 types. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said September policy package 2 is more concrete. Pramono Anung also said it is easy to apply and easy to understood by the public. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, said the investors
signed their commitments for certain norms that have been established by the technical ministries. If the conditions are met, Frank Sibarani also stated, investors obtain an investment license, an Indonesian legal entity plus tax identity or taxpayer identification number. He said greater incentives is offered to investors in the industrial area or those have a commitment to the value of over 100 billion rupiah or employing at least 1,000 employees. Vice Chairman of the Indonesia's Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, Bambang Sujagat, on Tuesday, September 29th, said the September Package 2 has not touched the main problem. During this time, Bambang Sujagat said BKPM only guarding the early stage investment. According to Bambang Sujagat, the weak security of investment is made in line with the position of BKPM, which is no higher than on technical ministry. However, publication of the September Package 2 made the market enthusiastic. On the currency markets, the exchange rate rose to 16.5 points, or 0.11%, to a level of 14,690.5 per US dollar, while the composite stock price index strengthened to 57.91 points, or 1.41%, to a level of 4,178.41. Meanwhile, capital market doer Abi Priyadi Rianto expects the economic policy package 2 that published by the government can maintain a stable exchange rate of the rupiah to move against the US dollar. Abi Priyadi Rianto on Tuesday in Jakarta said that if the rupiah has recovered, investors certainly come to Indonesia. With the restoration of the confidence of foreign investors toward rupiah, equities and bonds in the country will go back into the area of strengthening trend. He added that a stable rupiah exchange rate will also be able to encourage increasing of people consumption. With a lot of Indonesian population, it is expected to encourage growth in the domestic economy. The facility is part of the economic policy package 2, which stay within the scope of the Ministry of Finance, in addition to acceleration time of permit of tax holiday and tax allowance. Listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Financial Service Authority, OJK, has expressed hope that foreign mining companies operating in Indonesia would sell part of their sales through an initial public offering IPO at the country's stock exchange. A workers' union has urged Indonesian government to implement policies that would provide an immediate boost to domestic demand and prevent more job cuts in the manufacturing sector. National Intelligence Agency BIN Chief Sutioso revealed on Wednesday that the central government planned to build a hospital in Belu, the capital city of Atanbua Regency in East Nusa Tenggara. The number of spots in the East Kota Waringin District Central Kalimantan is increasing once again, a development attributed to rather long spell of the dry season. Head of the Haji Hasan Sambit's Indonesian Agency for Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics, BNKG, Yulida Warni, stated in Sambit on Tuesday that BNKG has predicted that the monsoon will arrive by early November and the month of October will see no rain at all. Islamic Defenders Front FBI has said that it is forbidden to apologize to the victims of the 1965 communist purge. According to FBI patron Muhammad Rashid Sihat, known as Habib Rizik, an apology for the 1960s purge will lead to the rise of the communist ideology and threaten Muslims. The Central Statistics Agency BPS recorded that Indonesian deflation figure in September reached 0.05% by the Consumer Price Index. Head of the agency, Shriamin said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the highest deflation was in Sibolga of 1.85%, the lowest one was 0.02% in Bandung. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Listener, in today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Batik Kliwonan Tourism Village. Stay tuned. Listener, October 2nd, annually, is celebrated as the Day of National Batik. National Batik Day is the day of national celebration to commemorate the enactment of batik as a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity on October 2nd, 2009 by UNESCO. On the Day of National Batik, all people are usually wearing batik as an effort to celebrate while preserving batik. Talking about batik, it is actually not separated from batik industrial centers. Sragen in Central Java, for example, is the biggest batik production center in Indonesia after Pekalongan and Surakarta. In Sragen, there are two batik sub-centers, namely Plupuh and Masaran. The two sub-centers have some produced batik villages. The location of them too close together, opposite each other, on the northern and southern sides of the Solo River. On the southern side of Solo River, there are three villages producing batik, namely the Pilang village, Butuh, and Kliwonan, that come into Masaran sub-district. The regional government of Sragen Regency then set the county producing villages as an integrated tourism area called Batik Kliwonan Tourism Village. Kliwonan Village is also designated as a center of development, training, and marketing of batik. The area of Batik Tourism Village is located approximately 12 kilometers south of downtown Sragen or 15 kilometers northeast of Solo, Central Java. Listener, along the road to the location of Batik Kliwonan Tourism Village, you will be treated with expanse of rice field and community houses that are neatly arranged. Once arriving there, not only shopping, you can also see the batik making process, like the process of dyeing, coloring, giving motifs. In addition, you can also traveling while learning batik for 3 hours, learn to make pottery, to know the process of farming, culinary tour, exploring the village, and natural photography. For those who are interested in studying batik seriously and professionally, you can follow batik training for 5 days. Here, you will learn the basic techniques of batik briefly and quickly. While you learn the making process of batik, you will get to know the history and origins of batik in Indonesia and the birth of Batik Sragen. listener, the style of batik Sragen is identical with Surakarta batik, especially in the 80s, since the pioneer of batik in Sragen generally work at batik firms in Surakarta. But then, batik Sragen succeeded in forming a characteristic different from the Yogyakarta and Surakarta batik products. Yogyakarta batik style generally has a heavy foundation sogan, or white with a pattern of black or dark color, which is commonly called white batik or batik putihan. While Surakarta batik style usually has a dark color with a white motif, or commonly referred as black or ireng batik background. Batik Sragen rich with ornaments of flora and fauna. Some crafters lately began trying to generate new motif contents tell us about people's daily activities. Most artisans still maintain writing technique on the primissima cloth. Primissima cotton is a term used in the field of batik to determine the quality of the batik material or fabric. This traditional technique demonstrated a remarkable ability to survive batik Sragen in the modern era. This is the appeal of batik Kliwonan Tourism Village. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kliwonan Batik Tourism Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today, we take you to find out about National Batik Day. What is the first thing crossing through your mind when hearing the word Indonesia? Some people will probably say it's beautiful nature or its culture and friendly people. One thing for sure is Indonesia is popular with its batik. Yes, batik cloth is indeed known and recognized worldwide through UNESCO. UNESCO itself included batik in the representative list of the Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity on October 2, 2009. This is why October 2 is chosen as National Batik Day, and it is set by the Presidential Decree No. 33, year 2009. It is the government's effort to increase the dignity of the Indonesian nation and positive image in the international forum. Recognition towards batik is the world's recognition towards the Indonesian culture. Another goal is certainly raising pride of and love for the Indonesian culture. Since the National Batik Day was set on October 2, Indonesian people have been called on to wear batik. Although this official call is only effective for state institutions, in general, Indonesian people enthusiastically commemorate the National Batik Day by wearing batik. Shopping centers also enliven the National Batik Day by giving interesting discounts for every batik purchase. Welcoming and enlivening the special day, Pendopo Mall in North Jakarta presents an event called National Batik Day Celebration with Pendopo. The event, which is held for about 2 weeks, will end on October 4, 2015 at Fashion Atrium of Kota Kasablanka, South Jakarta. The peak event on October 3, 2015 will feature Anindya Kusuma Putri, Putri Indonesia 2015, who will apply chanting or a pen-like tool to draw batik pattern in wax with batik lovers community. On October 4, 2015, there will be batik fashion show and batik statue decorating contest. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on National Batik Day. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a Malay singer named Edi Silitonga. To begin the show, here is the first song by Edi Silitonga. Happy listening. Listener, Edi Silitonga, who was born as Charles Edison Silitonga in Pamatang Siantar, North Sumatra, November 17, 1950, never learned vocal in a special way. He just relied on songs broadcast by Radio Republik Indonesia to sharpen his singing skill. His music talent kept going on until his teenagehood by participating in various singing festivals. His participation resulted in various accomplishments, including in Seriosa Festival in North Sumatra in Medan, 1967, Pop Singer Festival and Popular Songs Festival at Taman Ismail Marzuki in 1976. Besides singing solo, Eddie has formed a band named Madya Sapta. From Madya Sapta band, Eddie established a vocal group, Eddie's Group, and released an album with the single Mama that led him to fame. Besides singing pop songs, Eddie Silitonga can also sing Malay songs. Alright, listener, now let's listen to a song by Eddie Silitonga entitled Bunga Tanjung. Enjoy!
Harumnya
Listener, Success by Success is gained by Eddie Silitonga. His albums like Biarlah Sendiri, Tabahkan Hatimu, Doa, Jatuh Cinta, Rindu Setengah Mati, Hitam Atas Putih, Alusi Au, Romo Ono Maling, and many others gain popularity in the market. The singer who was popular in 70s also sang traditional songs like Batak in North Sumatra, Malay, Minang from West Sumatra, Manado from South Sulawesi, Gorontalo from Sulawesi, and even Javanese songs. In 2010, the Indonesian Minister of Culture and Tourism, Jero Wacik, trusted him as the Indonesian Culture Ambassador. He is assigned to promote culture and tourism of Indonesia by going around the world through 49 countries spreading in 5 continents in the world. And it took about 9 months. Well, listener, that's a glimpse of Eddie Silitonga. And to end the program, here are 2 songs by Eddie Silitonga. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Pada suatu hari, ku berjalan menyusuri bukit terjal ke jurang dan lembah.
kulihat dalamnya jurang ragu di hatiku. Ke kanan dan kiri, belukar dan hutan-hutan sangat luas. Mungkin ku berharap, adakah lagi pelangi dalam cita hati pelangi. Sungguh indah keagungan yang kuasa, tak dapat terlukiskan manusia. Betapa ku menambahkan rahmatmu dalam duka, dalam suka di dunia. Semuanya harus pengorbanan. Ah, la 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 la. Oh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.